Wes Anderson, the director of the delightful film The Royal Tenenbaums, is running out of time, and we're getting frustrated with him just as he's showing frustration with himself. With his new film, The Darjeeling Limited, he's made one too many films about privileged, dysfunctional families. He knows this and keeps trying to break through to something new. Before the film, there is a short subject called The Hotel Chevalier. A darkly handsome young man, played by Jason Schwartzman, is inert on a hotel bed in Paris. The camera prowls back and forth restlessly. We will learn that he has been in this purgatory for over a month. He can afford it indefinitely. He gets a call from a former lover who is in town for one night only. Can she come over? He's been running away from her, but he cannot say no. He tidies the room, creating a little love nest as if by reflex rather than will. When the girl arrives, she's played by Natalie Portman, looking exactly like Mia Farrow, circa Rosemary's Baby, dangerously trendy. She flits about the room, sending signals so mixed, we in the audience are driven half mad, let alone the poor guy. Eventually, they prepare to make love, but there's too much pain in the bed, and the man is too emotionally exhausted for passion. The use of this short film creates an intimacy with the character, who we learn is named Jack. By rooting us in Paris, the film expands. Later, there will be an equally short, equally effective flashback to New York City. When the film proper begins, we see Jack again, still hiding from life, this time on a train across India. He is here at the bequest of his oldest brother, Francis, Owen Wilson. Also present is the middle brother, Peter, Adrian Brody. One year after the death of their father, they have convened in India, following Francis' half-baked itinerary, which is supposed to lead them to spiritual enlightenment, or something. As we get to know the brothers, we're trapped with them in that tiny train. We're meant to be laughing at the games they play with loyalty, the way they fight with, triangulate, and manipulate each other. If I'd never seen another Wes Anderson film, I might have been more patient with this passage. Instead, I found it precious. Would we have been friends, do you think, if we'd met in real life? One of them asks. They aren't even aware that a world outside the family even exists. And in the exact center of this loose-seeming but structurally canny film, life does at last come crashing in on the brothers. I won't tell you the form tragedy takes, but it does strike. And then, is that handheld camera in a Wes Anderson film? Yes. Like rain on a parched land, yes. But as much as you want the style to explode and the story to shoot off on a new trajectory, this is only an interlude. Anderson's style reasserts itself with his favorite punctuation, quick, precise pans of 90 degrees, chopping the space into squares, very much like Ozu did in his films. An inspired technique for an exquisite miniature like Tenenbaums, which is partly about the little square rooms in which families are trapped, but faced with the mountain of India, it's like chipping away at a mountain with a little rock hammer. As these modish young men in suits goofed around India, looking in vain for something already in their possession, I thought often of Richard Lester's Beatles films. Those are fine movies, but the Beatles, inspired by trips to India, took their work to much more interesting places. At the end of the Darjeeling Limited, the brothers leave their expensive custom luggage behind in order to catch a train. It's hardly the first time Westerners have tried to assimilate India into their consciousness. The big question is, when they return to their lives, have they learned to live without the luggage, or will they just replace it? Or to put it another way, is the Darjeeling Limited a true transitional film? Time will tell. Reviewing movies for WFIU, this is Peter Noble Kuchera.